This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a GOP House. Breaking news, we have a GOP House. By the slimmest of margins, but we do have one. So now, okay, we did it. Got it. Not quite as big as we wanted it to be. We got it. Now what? I mean, we've given them power. You put in the work. I put in the work. We had an election. We gave the GOP power. We took it away from Democrats, took away the House of Representatives, and we gave it to the GOP. Now what? What are they going to do? What should they do? I'll tell you what, we're going to bring in some congressmen tonight, and we're going to ask them what they plan on doing. Might as well hear it from the horse's mouth. But I'll just tell you right now what they should be doing. Issue number one is actually not inflation and gas prices and crime. And I'm not dismissing the concerns about those things. I understand full well we're all sitting watching our standard of living drop as the value of the dollar goes down and interest rates go up. I know that that's top concern for Americans. Now, I get it, and I don't judge anybody for it. Totally get it. But that is not the most dangerous thing happening in the United States of America. The most dangerous thing happening in the United States of America right now by a mile is that we have a government that is wholly hostile to you, and there's never an election to get rid of them. I'm not talking about the House of Representatives or the Senate or the presidency. I'm talking about the administrative state that truly runs America. You see all these people, DOJ, EPA, FBI, CIA, look, pick your three-letter agency, IRS, all these people in these agencies. They're the ones who destroy their political enemies, you. They're the ones with their eyes set on you. And if that makes you angry, good. But the problem is you never in your life have ever gotten to vote for FBI director. Neither have I, nor will you. They run the country now. You could have the entire House and the entire Senate and the presidency. We had the House, Senate, and presidency in 2016, remember? And what happened? Donald Trump promptly had his entire agenda and his presidency kneecapped from where? From the administrative state. Unless that thing is cleaned out, gutted, and reformed, nothing else really matters at a federal level. Nothing, absolutely nothing at all. And they know it, too. They know they have all the power. I still marvel at this exchange. I've played it for you before on the show. And before I go to this exchange between Christopher Ray and Chuck Grassley, where Ray basically tells Grassley, hey, go pound sand, I got a plane to catch. I want you to keep something in mind. The United States Senate is extremely powerful. That is a powerful legislative body. The United States Senator, there's only 100 of them. You know, when they walk into a steakhouse in D.C., they don't need reservations? Just like those mob movies you see. That's the truth. That's a little inside baseball for you. They walk in any restaurant in D.C. Hey, Senator, you got a reservation? No. Okay, we'll get you a table set up right away. Just hang on a second, sir. Senators are powerful. Senators travel internationally routinely and meet with heads of state. And Chuck Grassley's more than just a United States Senator. He is the head of the Judiciary Committee for the GOP. He's the man in the Judiciary Committee. This is a hugely powerful committee, maybe the most powerful committee in the United States Senate, with all kinds of oversight. Oversight over the FBI, too. Now, I want you to watch this video again, which I've shown you before, and I want you to ask yourself, how afraid is the FBI of the GOP?
Senator, I had a flight that I'm supposed to be hightailing it to out of here, and I had understood that we were going to be done at 1:30, so that's how we ended up where we are.
If it's your business trip, you got your own plane. Can it wait a while?
sorry, to be honest. I've tried to make my break as fast as I could to get right back out of here.
Yeah, so you took more than 5 minutes.
Ha, 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 it's funny. That was a private plane. He could have postponed an entire day if he wanted to, and oh, he was going on vacation. That is Christopher Wray, very diplomatically sitting in front of the GOP and raising not one but two middle fingers in their face and saying, what are you going to do about it? Wrap it up, Senator. I got a vacation to go on. That didn't worry you enough? Maybe Christopher Wray talking about the fact the FBI most definitely was involved in January 6th, maybe this will worry you enough.
Did the FBI have confidential human sources embedded within the January 6th protesters on January 6th of 2021?
Well, Congressman, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to be very careful about what I can say about when.
Even now, because that's what you told us 2 years ago.
May I finish? About when we do and do not, and where we have and have not used confidential human sources. But to the extent that there's a suggestion, for example, that the FBI's confidential human sources or FBI employees in some way instigated or orchestrated January 6th, that's categorically false.
Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being open?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no.
It's not a no, because they were there, and you see what he did there. Asked very specific, very pointed questions, and what did he do? Same thing they always do with the administrative state, most definitely at the FBI. Well, I can't really comment ongoing investigation. Well, you got to understand. And why do they answer questions this way? Or I should put it this way. Why don't they answer questions? Because they're not afraid. Because they're in charge. They're in charge. And now, not only are they in charge, they think you're a domestic terrorist. They are wholly hostile to you. And this goes way beyond the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Please understand that DHS is no longer concerned at all about foreign terrorists, you know, fighting Islamic Jihad and all that stuff, all the reasons it was started. The Department of Homeland Security is now firmly focused on you and any disinformation you may be spreading out there.
I believe that this working group that gathers together best practices, makes sure that our work is coordinated, consistent with those best practices, that we're safeguarding the right of free speech, that we're safeguarding civil liberties, I think is an extraordinarily important endeavor.
By the way, in case you missed it, that was him being asked, what is this disinformation governance board? Did you notice his answer didn't have an answer at all? Well, we're developing best practices. What's that mean? If I ask my son why he didn't take the trash out, and he tells me, well, Dad, I'm developing best practices. Okay, you're grounded. You didn't answer the question. Notice how they're not afraid. They never feel the need to answer why they're attacking you, why they're censoring you. And speaking of Mayorkas, remember this gem when he claimed the border was secure?
It's very difficult to predict what that migration will be, but we are planning for different scenarios. We are then at the border, surging resources. What distinguishes us from the past is the fact that we will not implement policies of cruelty that disregard our asylum laws. We are rebuilding a system that was entirely dismantled.
But do you acknowledge you're likely going to see a surge?
We very well could, and our job is to be prepared to address it.
They caused the surge intentionally. 2022, over 2 million encounters, 1.7 million in 2021, in case you wanted to know. That's up 37%. That's courtesy of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. We still have a wide open southern border. You cannot have a nation if you have an open border where third world people are coming in whenever they feel like it. Your nation will collapse. No nation can withstand that. And it's happening as we speak. The GOP has got to do something about that. Impeach Mayorkas, I don't know. Look, I don't know. They have to do something about that. And lastly, Do you remember the media telling you that the Hunter Biden laptop was just Russian disinformation? Do you remember this?
The FBI is now investigating whether those alleged Hunter Biden emails are actually connected to a larger foreign intelligence operation.
They may be related to a foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence operation.
For all we know, these emails are made up.
The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Part of a Russian disinformation effort.
Described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks.
All the hallmarks of a Russian.
Russian disinformation
campaign.
This is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
It's courtesy of my buddy Tom Elliott at Gravy, and pretty revealing, no? Except it wasn't Russian disinformation at all. The truth is Hunter Biden is involved in Russia. He's involved in Ukraine. He's involved in China. He's involved in these places, and he's not involved because he has any special access, or I take that back. He's not involved because he has any special ability. What he does have, actually, is special access. Access to who? Access to the President of the United States of America.
He's going to talk about drug reform and any other thing that I want him to. He'll talk about anything that I want him to that he believes in. If I say this is important to me, then he will work a way in which to make it a part of his platform. My dad respects me more than he respects anyone in the world, and I know that to be certain.
You see, an investigation into Biden, Hunter, or Joe, it's not about Hunter Biden. It's about figuring out just how wholly compromised the President of the United States of America is. How many laptops does Russia possess of Hunter Biden's? Hunter Biden thinks they have at least one. How many laptops does China possess? How much criminal activity? If Xi in China gets on the phone right now and beep, 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 dials up Joe Biden, what can he make him do? These are national security questions the GOP must address. We're going to talk about all these things with a few congressmen coming up. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We'll be back with Dan Bishop.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Take on the intelligence community. They have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know,
to?
But from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about.
The intelligence community? The intelligence community that's charged with protecting us from foreign enemies, they're going to get upset and attacked sitting, well, people running for president and then sitting presidents, sitting senators, sitting congressmen. It almost seems like we have an administrative state that runs the country, is completely out of control, and needs to be brought to heel. Joining me now, Dan Bishop, great congressman from the state of North Carolina, and there aren't very many great congressmen. Congressman, this out-of-control administrative state we have that apparently runs the country concerns me a great deal. And probably what concerns me the most is every time they go sit in front of Congress or the Senate, they don't act afraid at all of anything, of anybody. Last time Ray went in front of them, he told him, hurry up, I got a plane to catch, and just ran right out on Grassley and treated him like a little girl. Why aren't they afraid?
Because they've been given unchallengeable power. They really, Jesse, the worrisome thing is you would think, well, the executive branch is controlling it, and that's Biden, and so we don't like the way he's doing it, but at least somebody's in charge. Well, that's not true either. Some of Comey's testimony back on behalf of the FBI indicated that there's this interagency bureaucratic process, but it's not clear to me that they're answering to the executive branch. And in Congress, I don't think anybody's exercising robust oversight. The entity that was created to do that were the select intelligence committees in the House and in the Senate. I think they're in the tank with the intel agencies. And we are so much worse off than we were in the mid-70s when Congress convened the select church committee in the Senate and the Pike Committee in the House to try to dig into the abuses of the intel agencies and the security state. We've got to get back there. We've got to go beyond, I think, what that committee did in that year.
Well, refresh people's memory who don't understand Church Committee, Pike Committee. What did they find when they began digging into the intel community?
You know, at the time, Jesse, I think there was also a difference in emphasis, but what they were looking at was foreign covert operations. Folks will remember assassination orders that had gone out. No one would take responsibility for it, or no president was taking responsibility. FBI had infiltrated a lot of groups in violation of First Amendment rights. They were leftist groups primarily, but not entirely. I mean, the Klan was one, but there were Martin Luther King Jr. and the Students for a Democratic Society. And there had just been abuse after abuse after abuse. And the select committee was given enough power in the hands of Frank Church, Idaho Democrat at the time. And that, so his name was on the committee, I guess you'd say. They referred to it that way. But they just spent a period of 8 months or so and they had to fight the stonewalling that you usually see. And they got a lot of information out about what the intel agencies were doing, the CIA, NSA, and so forth. But still, the FBI was the toughest nut to crack, and they really didn't get a complete reform done even then. But one of the reforms they made, Jesse, was to create these intel committees. The idea would be that Congress would quit passing the buck on its oversight responsibilities. But as so many things in Washington, it's really turned out the opposite. It's a group of folks who are satisfactory to leadership, and they seem usually not very inclined to dig in hard on the intel agencies.
Well, what's wrong with leadership? Why doesn't leadership want these agencies brought to heel as well? Can you explain that? I don't understand.
You do understand, Jesse, but I appreciate you putting the question to me that way. I mean, this is something the American people now well understand. They are really on top of it. They're way ahead of members of Congress, I think. There is the uniparty in Washington, and both parties play the game. And, we have something, frankly, that's coming up with the election that's just passed. A lot of people were disappointed in a lot of ways, but one thing that makes a very interesting state of affairs, and that is that in the House we have a majority of 2 or 3 or 4, and the speaker-to-be needs a majority. And 4 members of the Republican Conference have said they're not voting for Kevin McCarthy. But that's, what we see is there's just over time, there has emerged a system. It's gravely dysfunctional. The power seems to be held by 5 or 6 people. Most members of Congress are almost irrelevant. And there are those of us who are trying to change that. And we have an opportunity to do that, given the very close majority in the Republican House to be.
One of the things that concerns me a great deal is, even if you get your oversight done, which I know obviously you want to do, and let's say there is criminal activity at the FBI, which of course there's criminal activity at the FBI, this human being, Merrick Garland, would be the one in charge of prosecuting them.
The Justice Department supports and defends the First Amendment right of parents to complain as vociferously as they wish about the education of their children, about the curriculum taught in the schools. That is not what the memorandum is about at all, nor does it use the words domestic terrorism or Patriot Act. Like you, I can't imagine any circumstance in which the Patriot Act would be used in the circumstances of parents complaining about their children, nor can I imagine a circumstance where they would be labeled as domestic terrorism.
That's weird because the counterterrorism heads at the FBI met and discussed which terrorist threat tag to assign to those parents, and that's the DOJ that would actually hold the FBI accountable. Do I have that correctly?
You do have it correct, Jesse, and there is no denying the uphill nature of the slog that we have. And when I said earlier, I think Americans are aware of it, at least in the people that I talk to day in and day out. I had a number of telephone calls with people today. I think the American people understand that we are against the wall, that things are way off track, that there is no more time for business as usual, status quo, uniparty action in Washington. And while having one House of Congress under bare Republican control is not going to be a panacea or fix all of our problems, I do believe that with every passing Congress, there are more folks up there who know what time it is, who know that we better dig in, that the last opportunities are fleeting. So what we can do, we can conduct oversight, we can dig in, we can expose for the American people just how brazen the abuses are by and the disregard and the contempt of them is by Chris Wray, by Alejandro Mayorkas at Homeland Security. And we can galvanize the American people to make sure they make change once candidates come to them and make it clear that they will damn well follow through.
Well, Congressman, go get them. Rooting for you.
Thank you, Jesse.
Darn. Still got a lot of show left. Hang on.
The border is secure.
Congressman, the border is secure. We're executing our plan, and I've been very clear and unequivocal in that regard.
I want to repeat my assurance to our audience this morning that the border is, in fact, secure.
The border is secure. The border is secure. I hear that over and over and over again, only the border is not secure at all. In fact, it's sounding like Mayorkas may be in a bit of hot water today. Kevin McCarthy had this to say.
Are you going to push for Secretary Mayorkas to be impeached if you become the Speaker in January?
I think we'll talk a little bit about that more today. I'm going to go down, sit down with the border agents, get a firsthand knowledge of what is happening today, because I do not trust what Secretary Mayorkas has told the nation. Every fact is what he has said is not true from everything we have seen. But I'm going to go firsthand, get the knowledge with a number of other members, and we'll talk a little bit more about that today.
Joining me now, my friend Congressman Andy Biggs from the state of Arizona, the great state of Arizona. Congressman, so we have a head of DHS who has intentionally opened the border, I would argue, and then has lied repeatedly about it. Now, I don't want to get over my skis here. You're in Congress. I'm not. Is this guy in trouble?
Well, he should be. We should not. There should not be any equivocation on impeachment, Jesse. Look, I'm just telling you this. This administration is talking about providing amnesty to literally 20 million or more people. That's an incentive for more. This administration is now talking about doing away with Title 42. Now, when you do that, you're going to see incentives on both fronts for an additional 5 or 6, sometimes maybe even 10,000 people a day. We're getting over 10,000 people a day on average that are surrendering or being captured at the border. This Secretary Mayorkas, he's the guy that's the architect. He's the guy that's implemented these policies that have produced this crisis. And I think there should be no equivocation from leadership or anybody on the Republican side of Congress. This man needs to be impeached, and he probably should be prosecuted for contempt of Congress or perjury to Congress, because when you think about it, he's under oath, he's giving testimony, and what he's saying is the border is secure. And he in fact knows that under the Secure Fence Act, that this border is not operationally secure, and it's his fault.
Okay, can you give us some details on his policies that have caused all this? Because we know there's a problem. We know the border is wide open. A lot of people, though, they can't name specifics. They're not in the know like you are. What are his policies that are bringing all these people? It's 2 million this year. It's insane.
Well, first of all, you have to look at what's the incentives. What's drawing people in? And the incentive is the Biden administration, Joe Biden, and the Democrats said they were going to open the border, right? Okay, so that's first thing. Everybody knows it. That's why in February of 2021, you saw people showing up at the border in Tijuana wearing T-shirts that said, Biden, let us in. And this is why you can go down and talk to anybody who's coming across, and they're going to tell you how much they like Joe Biden, because that is the policy to welcome them in. So that's one thing. You've got to change it at the top. The second thing is they got rid of the Remain in Mexico policy, which was such a tremendous factor in inhibiting these incentives. It provided a disincentive. People didn't want to wait in Mexico. They quit coming. So that was pretty good. The other thing is building the fence. That sent a strong signal to the cartels and people who wanted to come here illegally that we were not going to let them in. Those policies in and of themselves inhibited a lot of, those are Trump policies that inhibited a lot of people coming, but I'll give you some more. He doesn't believe in enforcing Title VIII. They don't enforce the law. So when you don't enforce the law under Title VIII, what that means is you don't detain people until their immigration status is determined. That's what Title VIII requires. So what they're doing instead is they're just actually moving people through the processing facility at Border Patrol, either transferring to ICE to be released elsewhere in the country, or they're providing them, they're giving it to an NGO who's going to help them enter the country. So he's reinstituted the catch and release program, which was stopped under Trump. So those are just a few things. And here's the thing, Jesse, you're looking at this, and in the U.S. sector, for the whole year of 2020, the last year that President Trump was the president, fewer than 9,000 encounters, 8,860, something like that. That's all there were for the whole year. You know what it was this last fiscal year? More than 340,000 encounters just in the Yuma sector alone. That's what these policies will do.
Can you explain NGOs and these NGOs? A lot of people don't know. It gets so convoluted and complicated that people don't understand the infrastructure that's in place in this country by these filthy communists to actually flood this place with people who don't belong here. Explain the NGOs to people, please.
Yeah, an NGO is a non-government organization. They're kind of a special interest organization. So you have them, and in Yuma and all along the border, you're going to have an NGO. And what they do is they're part of this web. They're contracting with the federal government to actually help handle some of these people that are being released into the country. And so they're going to facilitate transportation. So, for instance, in one of the NGOs I'm familiar with, these people come in, they have to pay their own transport. They're released to the NGO. The NGO helps arrange travel, whether it's by bus or by plane, but those individuals have to pay for the transportation. And right now, that's probably about 40 to 45% of the people being released in Yuma go to an NGO who basically helps them. They're acting, they provide them with some food and some care and some treatment, and then they send them on their way. They're also overwhelmed. So you've got an NGO in Yuma, only one, and they're designed for handling 300 people a day. The federal government comes to them and says, well, we need you to handle 800 people a day. And they're like, well, we can't do that. So they're overwhelmed. And then in the meantime, everybody else, the other 55%, you might be sending 2% back home, but not so much anymore. But the other 55% or so, they're going to ICE, who then processes them, and then they get sent off from ICE somewhere into the United States. So, but the NGO process is essentially to facilitate disbursement of these people into the country. And before we were dispersing them, they were basically helping get, you know, doing some humanitarian, some charitable work, but then they've had to morph into this kind of logistical arm of the federal government, which is the logistical arm of the cartel in dispersing people throughout the country.
Okay, so the NGOs are facilitating getting people into the country, and ICE is facilitating getting people into the country. Is there anyone facilitating getting the people out of the country?
Not right now. I mean, so you got CBP. CBP cannot enforce the law. The Mayorkas won't let them enforce the law. What they're having to do instead, they're having to process people. And because they're overwhelmed, their facilities are overwhelmed, Mayorkas wants them to process these people very, very quickly, get them out into the country as quickly as possible. And that's what CBP is forced to do. ICE, similarly. ICE is, look, there's about 1.2 million, I think the number is, of people who've actually been adjudicated through the process that has said, do not have a valid asylum claim, you need to be removed, you need to be deported. Well, for whatever reason, we let them go make their arrangements and then they leave the country. We don't keep them in custody. And so you got 1.2 million people wandering around our country where the court has said, you need to be removed. And Mayorkas has told ICE, we're not going to go after those people and we're not going to remove those people. So when you say to me, should Mayorkas be impeached? There should be no equivocation from the Republicans. The Democrats shouldn't have equivocation either. This guy needs to be impeached. This administration is facilitated this. And you and I have not even talked about the fentanyl. We've not talked about the terrorists. We've not talked about the human trafficking, human smuggling. We're not talking about the cartels. We're not talking about the inhumanity crossing the border. And we're also not talking about the criminal crime gangs that come in. And Jesse, it is an absolute out of control border. And I was just down there recently, again, the last couple of weeks. And it's amazing what you can see, Jesse.
That is sad. Congressman, go get him. Thank you so much.
Will do. Thanks.
All right. We're going to talk to my buddy Chip Roy next. Fauci's out there still running his mouth. Hang on.
My message and my final message, maybe the final message I give you from this podium, is that please, for your own safety, for that of your family, get your updated COVID-19 shot as soon as you're eligible to protect yourself, your family, and your community.
That's so weird. Now, I realize I'm not a doctor. I'm just an uneducated rube, as you know, community college. So, I don't want to step on any medical toes. But I've been told over and over and over again now by everyone from Pfizer to the CDC and everyone in between that the COVID-19, quote, vaccine, if we're still calling it that, that it does not prevent transmission at all. So if it doesn't prevent transmission, how does me getting it protect my family and my community? You know what? I'm not smart enough. Let's ask a congressman. Joining me now, my friend Congressman Chip Roy, one of the great ones from the state of Texas. Congressman, you're the expert, obviously. I don't know what I'm talking about. Could you break down for me how a vaccine that doesn't stop the spread protects my family if I get it?
Yeah, I was just having a perfectly nice day. I mean, you had to play Anthony Fauci sitting there playing little dictator, telling the American, go out there and stick another needle in your arm when there's absolutely no science demonstrating that it will benefit you or your family. Oh, and by the way, because of me, Anthony Fauci, we're going to continue to have our men and women in uniform face getting fired if they dare say, hold on a second, I'm not sure that's in my best interest. There's no science for this. And Jesse, we held a hearing about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, actually, around Election Day, off the Hill, because we can't hold hearings on the Hill because Democrats don't want to do that. So we held one and we invited Scott Atlas and Jay Bhattacharya, Martin Kulldorff, some of these great doctors. They came in. I asked every one of them, went right down the line, said, is there any reason for an otherwise healthy male or female in their, you know, late teens, 20s, early 30s to be mandated to take a shot, or is it in their interest at all? Literally went down the line. They didn't even add editorial comment. They said, no, no, no. This has all been a fraud. While freaking Pfizer and Moderna makes $93 billion in a year, now over $100 billion, all in coordination with the government mandating you get a needle stuck in your arm. My last point, Republicans need to demand that we stop funding on the government mandates for vaccines. We can do that in the National Defense Authorization Act. We can do that on the omnibus spending bill. You should grade your Republicans as to whether they demand that we stop funding the vaccine mandate.
Okay. Do we have the political will for that? I know we don't have the Senate. I know we have the House. I know we have the House by a narrow margin. I agree with you. Do you think the political will exists? I know there's always a group of losers in there who will do us wrong.
Well, that's kind of what the current fight is right now in leadership, right? My position right now is nothing personal. It's not about any one individual. It's the fact that nobody has 218, and no one has 218 because no one has stepped up to demand and say, here's what the Republican conference needs to stand for. Do we have the political will to do that? Historically, no. I think we need to have a full-throated debate in our conference. We need to stand up, and we ought to say, nope, we are not going to advance the National Defense Authorization Act unless you get rid of vaccine mandates, among, by the way, some other things, like, for example, funding abortion travel drafting our daughters. There are other provisions the Senate wants to jam in there. Republicans need to stand strong. We need leadership to get the conference together and stand up and fight those things.
Back to Fauci real quick. What blew me away, and actually it didn't blow me away, I'm not surprised, but it is sad, is that he's still giving press conferences. This is a human being who should be lawyering up right now, worried about his upcoming trial, but he's up there joking with supporters. Life is good. I'm going to retire, baby. This guy's going to walk away scot-free without a blemish on him, isn't he?
Well, not if I have anything to do about it, but I'm only 435th of one half of one third of the federal government. But I'm going to be doing everything I can to make sure we hold him accountable, seek truth. That's why we held those hearings. It was a big deal. I would actually encourage all of your listeners, go look at that. I'll send the link. I'll repost the link here in a minute at ChipRoyTX on Twitter and on my social media. We exposed a lot of the problems from the very beginning, whether it was gain-of-function research, NIH funding, all of the lockdown problems, that we knew right out of the gate that this was something that hurt the elderly and obese and some people that were unhealthy. It wasn't for the general population. We knew that immediately. We knew that the vaccines had issues. We knew that the vaccines didn't really control transmission. We knew that pretty early on. And yet we've continued with all of this fraud because it was a game of power. It was a game of federal government exercising power over the American people. And we need to do something about it. I'm not going to make any promises, Jesse, because you know what? There aren't 435 of me, but I'm going to go fight and demand. And there are a bunch of us who want to change it. And we're going to do our damnedest to expose Fauci and have consequences.
Can you you can't promise what you can't deliver. Can you explain gain of function research for those of us, meaning myself, who are still confused by this? Did we create coronavirus?
Well, there certainly is a heck of a lot of evidence that this is not something that just kind of came up out of the natural world or out of the food market was or whatever it was. That at the end of the day, that we were neck deep and involved with this. And by the way, Jesse, you're a Texan. We had funding here with UT medical centers that were involved with gain of function research. I sent a letter to them saying, hey, what were you doing? And it created a bit of a controversy there. And now they're kind of backpedaling, we didn't know that it was being used that way. That was one guy. And I'm like, hold on a second. This is why we need accountability of all these federal dollars flying around. Your federal tax dollars were being used in coordination with the Chinese, Institute at Wuhan to dive into this gain-of-function research, which has likely resulted in the creation of this very bad pandemic. And so we ought to know about that. But you know what? Your tax dollars are still going to fund that sort of thing right now as we speak. Nothing ever changes. That's why we're so mad right now. That's why we're demanding as Republicans no more status quo. We want Republican leadership between now and January 3rd to demonstrate that they get it. They know what time it is in America. We've had it. We're going to demand accountability. We want to know where the money's going. No more blank checks to Ukraine. No more funding of NIH dollars going to do gain-of-function research. No more continuation of the assault on our military with vaccine mandates. No more open borders. Accountability for Mayorkas. That's what we demand out of leadership. And stop spending money we don't have to fund all this garbage. And, we'll see what we do, but that's what I'm going to be fighting for, Jesse.
Is all this vaccine mandate stuff about money now, Chip? Because I got to be honest, that's the only thing I can come up with. If you still have a mandate for this and mandate for the military, mandate for this reeks of being a gigantic handout to Pfizer, Moderna, these pharmaceutical companies who I know spend a fortune lobbying the government. This seems like naked corruption to me.
Look, we have created an environment where big healthcare, big corporate America is at odds with the average American and the average small business owner in this country. this is one of the things most Republicans don't want to take on. They're like, oh my gosh, if I take on pharma, oh man, they're going to bring their lobbyists against me. If I go take on all the big healthcare corporations or the big insurance companies, oh man, you can't have Blue Cross Blue Shield coming after you. You know what? Screw them. They're like, we're not run by oligarchs. We're not run by corporate America. I mean, that's true fascism. The people run this country. We need to take it back from these big corporate leviathans that were basically boosted and built up on the back of Obamacare on an already broken system with big insurance companies that are running your health care. And then you throw pharma on the top of it, making $100 billion on the back of vaccine mandates. And you know exactly what's going on. Follow the money. But I want to say, it was Democrats jamming through Obamacare that put this all on steroids. We need to return health care to the people, to doctors, get the government out of it, and get corporate America out of it. Return it back to the people and doctors.
Congressman Chip Roy, appreciate you, brother. Come back soon.
Have a blessed Thanksgiving, my man.
You too. All right. We're going to lighten the mood. Next. All right. We know what they should do. Remember, administrative state is numero uno. What are they going to do about that? We know they need to work on the border. They do need to impeach Mayorkas. We know the things they should do. The question is now, what will they do? But no matter what they do, and obviously we're going to keep talking about it right here on I'm Right every single weeknight. We'll talk about it, but you should know that now it's on them. You put in the work. You went out, you voted. You dragged friends and family. You talked about it with people. You put in the work, you elected these people. It's their job now to deliver. If they don't deliver, if they start to disappoint the way the GOP always seems to end up doing, then it is important we begin to primary these people and run them out of office. We must turn the GOP into a strong anti-communist party. We must. You already put in the work. Now it's on them. All right, we'll do it again.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.